today we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit and you. All through the 30 days, we've been dealing with relationship and divine direction. So today we're going to be talking about the Spirit of the living God that is in us. I know all of us have heard about it many a times, about the Spirit of the living God dwelling in our lives, being with us, but it's never enough to talk about the Spirit of God. It's never enough to talk about the Holy Spirit. You just get to learn something new. You just get to learn something that you've not learned before. You get to hear something you've not heard before, and then your opportunity to practice what you've not practiced before. I'm going to be looking at a scripture that deals with the topic we're talking about today. John 14 and verse 16, I'm using a New Living Translation. It says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads to all truth." I strongly believe that in every man's life or in every lady's life, we are looking for the truth. If you search through everything that is happening in the country today, every person is looking for the truth. Because the truth you know makes a way for you. When you are kept from the truth, you can't practice what should set you free. But when you know the truth, is that you're being open to knowledge and you take away ignorance. So truth is something that you need in life. Everybody needs it. And here we hear from the scripture, it says, who leads you into all truth? So whatever truth you're looking for, however it may be, there is someone that can lead you into that truth. And his name is the Holy Spirit. Isn't that interesting? It is one thing to be looking for truth and not finding someone to tell you the truth. It's another to have someone. And here we read from John chapter 14 verse 16 that the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. And then it says he will never leave you. That's very interesting. So he's going to be there with you. So no matter the questions you are asking, you have somebody who has the answer by your side. I've heard it repeated from this altar that the greatest search engine is the Holy Spirit. So if you are looking for something in Google and you cannot find it, then of course you can Google the Holy Spirit and you will get the answer. Praise the Lord. I said praise the Lord. I said praise the Lord. I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate. Someone in my place. That was Jesus Christ talking to his disciples. Other translations say, I will ask the Father and he will give you another comforter. I think I prefer that when you say comforter, because if you say comforter, it means that there are certain times when we'll be in discomfort. And we always get to that stage. So when we get to that stage, there's somebody who's going to comfort us and bring us out of any discomfort. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right, let's go on. So, we've just established that the Father is willing and ready to send the Holy Spirit. And of course, has sent the Holy Spirit. So, the Holy Spirit is not someone that the Father is withholding. So, ultimately, the Father is not withholding truth from you and I. God who is in heaven is not keeping truth from you. God who is in heaven is not keeping truth from me. He has made the truth available to us through the Holy Spirit. Am I making sense to you at all? So these are just a few things I want us to establish as we go on. The next thing I want us to see is, you know, when we talk about the Holy Spirit and we talk about him, most people are not really sure whether he's in our lives or when he gets into our lives. At what point in time is the Father going to allow the Spirit of God to come and dwell in us? When will he come to be with us? Simple. The same scripture. If you look at Titus chapter 3 verse 5, he says he saved us not because of the righteous things we had done. That's talking about God. But because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and a new life through the Holy Spirit. Are you seeing that? So the point at which the Holy Spirit comes to stay in us or comes to be with us is at the new birth. Why am I saying this? If you have truly given your life to Christ, if you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Spirit of God is already with you. Hello. Because once you're not certain about the fact that the Holy Spirit is in you or is with you, you can't get any truth from Him. There has to be a certainty. There has to be a surety that He is with you. And this scripture lets us know that He, the Holy Spirit, was even the one that, you know, helped us to actually even go through the process. And then at the end of the day, we are now newborn creatures. We are not the old creatures. That is, if you're saved. If you're not saved, that's a simple thing too. You need to understand that you have to give your life to Christ. If you have not given your life to Christ, it's going to be hard for you to fully get all the truth that God wants to give to you. But it's a simple thing. All you need to do is accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, confess Him as your Lord and Savior, ask Him to come into your life, and then He comes into your life, He takes charge of your life, and you're a different personality. Hello. Am I making sense to you at all? Am I confusing you? No. Good. So the Holy Spirit comes to us at the new birth. So where you are now, the Holy Ghost is with you. Hello. Can you imagine? The one that created the world, or the one that was a part of the creation process, is right there sitting inside you. I want you to take a point, just a moment, and think about it. The one that was in the creation process, or was part of the creation process. The Bible says, in the beginning, all right, darkness was upon the deep. And then, what's what? It says, was null and void. Everywhere was upside down. And then the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And then God said, let there be. And each let there be came to pass. Without the Holy Spirit, all the let there be would have not happened. Hello? So, that personality, the person of the Holy Spirit, is dwelling inside you. The book of 1 Corinthians tells us, we are temples of the Holy Ghost. That is to say, you are carrying the Holy Ghost inside of you. It's a mystery that is hard for us to understand, but it's the truth. You carry the Holy Ghost inside you. The problem with us sometimes is that we tend to find it difficult to imagine that God, Almighty God, is dwelling inside you. As a matter of fact, some people will tell you, how can you say God is dwelling inside me? I just lied yesterday. God cannot be dwelling inside me because God does not tell a lie. I just did something terrible yesterday. God cannot do that because, God cannot be inside me. The Holy Ghost cannot be inside me. But understand that you were not saved because of the righteous things that you did. The Holy Ghost is not dwelling inside you because you are Superman, or because you know how to tell all the truth in the world, or because you are doing it by yourself. Notice, somebody had paid the price, and based on the fact that somebody had paid the price, He came to dwell in you. Jesus paid the price, and as Jesus has paid the price for your life, He is dwelling inside you because of the price that Jesus paid, not because of what you have been doing. Am I making sense to you at all? I'm trying to clarify certain things that may have been disturbing you, because sometimes some of us think that the Holy Spirit comes in and then disappears again. He comes into us, and then at the next Monday He disappears, and then on Sunday He appears, because some of us think that we are at our holiest moment on Sundays, or when we are in church. For instance, now we are very holy, so to say. Alright, so we think that the Holy Ghost is inside us. But when you are in your marketplace, when you are in your business, when you are in your store at New Benin, or when you are in your store at Mission Road, or when you are in your office, wherever you are, the Holy Ghost is inside you and working with you per second. The thing is that you may not recognize, but whether you recognize it or not, He's inside you. As long as you are a believer, the Holy Ghost is inside you. Say it. No, I'm not hearing you. Say it. You see, some people are not saying because they are not sure. Say it. As long as I'm a believer, the Holy Ghost is inside me. Because I'm a new creature. Amen. So I wanted us to get that clear, that the Spirit of God is dwelling inside me, and He's not intending to leave. He doesn't just pack His baggage and go. I need to stress this a little bit. Someone met me at one time. He says, you know, the way I'm feeling now, I don't think the Holy Ghost is inside me. Holy Ghost is not staying with you because you are feeling happy or feeling sad. Sometimes you may not feel happy. Sometimes you may not feel excited. Your excitement or your happiness has nothing to do with His stay inside you. Hello? You have to get that clear. Your excitement or happiness or your particular position in life has nothing to do with it. It only has to do with the fact that you are now a new creature and you are now in Christ. That is the only reason why He's inside you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. So, we've gotten that clear. The Holy Ghost is inside me. Now, if you notice, the next scripture we have there, you must understand, whenever any person comes into your life, they have something that they are doing. We have friends. How many of you have friends? We all have friends. Each of our friends is either a plus or a minus in our life. Some friends minus from your life. Some friends add to your life. Hello? And sometimes we even keep the friends that minus from our life. We enjoy keeping them. But that's not the discussion of today. All I'm simply saying that in every relationship, in any meeting, there's always an addition or a subtraction. They always have a function. Any person that you have met in life has a function in your life. Hello? For instance, we all are here. We know Reverend Ben. We know Pastor K. They have something that they are putting in our lives. They have something that they have to affect our lives. We also know some people who are terrible, who are also close to us, who also have something they do to their life. They could either injure you or do so. But what I'm simply saying is that every person, every relationship, every fellowship has an addition or subtraction. So just in the same way, the Holy Ghost has come so that He can have fellowship with us. But good fellowship, not bad fellowship. Hello? Fellowship is like two fellows in a ship. Two fellows in a ship. And there is no way you're going to have two fellows in a ship and you're not going to discuss unless they have some serious issues. Hello? Unless they have some serious issues. There is no way you're going to have two fellows in a ship and they won't discuss. Especially if they're on a lonely road or on the sea alone together. They must talk. If something happens in the water, maybe some kind of fish pops out of the water and trying to bring down the boat, maybe a shark, they will talk to each other. Okay, please help me hold the boat or help me do something. Hello? So there is no way two people can be in a ship and there's no discussion, there's no relationship. So you see, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, the Amplified Translation says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and His presence and fellowship and communion and sharing together and participation in the Holy Spirit." Hello? So the Holy Spirit is inside me so that I can have fellowship with Him and discuss with Him, and He discuss with me, and we discuss together, and we have fun together, and we relate together for a purpose. But basically, fellowship is the main thing. We are discussing, we are relating with each other, we are talking with each other. So there is no way the Holy Ghost can be inside you and you're not talking to Him. There is no way the Holy Ghost is inside you and He's not talking to you. He is not a thing. What do you mean a thing? A dead or an inanimate object. He's not like this speaker. He's not. He's not like this microphone. So the very fact that He's inside you, He's in you so that He can discuss with you. Notice there He says, and participation in the Holy Spirit be with you. That means there has to be a participation from you and Him. He's inside you so that you can talk. It's called practicing the presence of God. You talk to Him. He talks to you. You relate to Him. You must have something to say to Him. There is no friend you see today or there's no person you see today that you don't talk to. Even if it is good money, you talk to the person. You relate to the person. You discuss with the person. Hello? You say some things to the person. So you cannot have the Holy Ghost inside you and you believe He's inside you and you don't talk to Him. Many of us are good at talking. Some of us talk as much as I do. So if you are good at that, then you should understand that the Holy Spirit is there for you guys to talk. Doesn't matter the issue. After all, He's supposed to lead you into all truth. Is that not what He means? So that you can talk even about Yadwa's case, that He's not around. Talk to the Holy Spirit about it. Say, does He want to hear that? Yes, He wants to hear everything. Talk about it. Maybe this cloth you are wearing, say, I'm tired of this cloth too. How is it going to be? There must be something you have, because the Holy Spirit is more real than the person you are seeing. I say something to you. The Holy Ghost is more real than Pastor Tony. The Holy Ghost, see, Pastor Tony can die and leave this world, the Holy Ghost will still continue. You know, if God wants to extinguish me, say, so that I do not, let's assume that God wants to say, you never appeared. You know, it's possible. God can do that. He can do that and still the Holy Ghost will still be here. So the Holy Ghost is more real than you and I. As a matter of fact, the Holy Ghost was involved in your own creation. So he knows everything about you. He knows about who you are even before you came. Every ability that you're ever going to have, whatever you're going to do, how your destiny is going to look like, whether it's going to be black or whether it's going to be white, whatever it's going to be, the Holy Spirit is aware. So he's more real than any person. That's why you can trust him more than your friend. So he's in you so that you can build trust with him. A scripture just came to my mind. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5, this is not within what I'm teaching. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. That means the Holy Spirit is there so that you can trust him. Everybody's looking for trust. The best place you can find trust is with the Holy Ghost. Say, my boyfriend has left me, or my girlfriend has left me, my friend has left me. I'm brokenhearted. The only person that cannot break your heart is the Holy Spirit. Even if he does break your heart, he will mend it. Am I making sense to you at all? So if there is any hollow in your heart, find the Holy Spirit inside you so that he can fill the hollow. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Somebody say fellowship. Fellowship. I didn't hear you. Somebody say fellowship. Fellowship. Somebody say fellowship. Fellowship. Now, I told you that in fellowship, it's not a one-way affair. If you don't raise up an issue, the Holy Spirit may never talk to you all through your life. I had a case at one time. I told my friend, I said, does God ever talk to you? And he looked at me like, what do you mean? I said, you mean you are a Christian, you have never heard God talk to you? He said, God, what? Why would God talk to me? I'm serious, I'm not joking. I'm not joking, I'm telling you the truth. No, for me, it was a shock. Because I was like, how can you say God doesn't talk to you? I mean, I get to hear him like every day. He was looking at me like somebody who was coming out from the blues. I was like, hey, yeah, listen, I'm serious. I hear him every day. And I told him, I said, okay, you know what I'm going to do for you? I'll give you one simple assignment. You go home this night. When you get to the house, when nobody is there, just say, Holy Spirit, I invite you in. And, you know, I said it and I left. And then the other day I came back and I just saw him. I said, Joshua, how far? Did you do what I said you should do? He said, he first smiled. He said, I said, tell me now, what happened? He said, well, when he got to the house, he sat down. Everybody had left. So he said, Holy Spirit, I welcome you. And he heard someone coming inside his room. You know what he did? He ran out. And I'm like, I told him, why did you do that? He said he was afraid. He ran out. I said, look, listen, if I had that kind of opportunity, I would have been very glad. Your own is good. I mean, he's coming out to come and be with you. I mean, look, listen, the Bible says he will be with you. That means as you're walking, he's walking with you. Don't you get the picture? So he can come in. Now, he ran away and forgot about it. So, but I was trying to show him that he just missed a big opportunity of him hearing the Holy Ghost talk to him one-on-one. Now, if you're going to relate with the Holy Spirit, you must understand that he has a function that he works with, or a way he works with. The Bible says in the book of John, I believe it's 14:26, he said, the Holy Spirit will remind you of everything I have said to you. That is Jesus. Which means the Holy Ghost will remind you of the Word of God. That means the basis on which you're going to be relating with the Holy Spirit is the foundation or the bottom line of everything you're going to discover with the Holy Spirit is the Word of God. He will always lead you when you are discussing. You know, there are some people who discuss with you and they take you off the truth. They will tell you, see, don't just do it like this, do it like this, do it like this. The Holy Spirit will always bring you back to what the Word of God has said. He will always bring you back to what. So his bottom line or his foundation for discussing with you is the Word of God. If you are discussing about dress, he will tell you, yeah, I think God can supply all your needs. And you say, you think, no, I know God can supply all your needs. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Check it. He will keep on reminding you. When you're sorrowful, he said, let the weak say I'm strong. Let the poor say I'm rich. Huh? And then when you are, whatever situation you're going through, he will give you something coming from God's word. So if you're going to find it easy relating with God or relating with the Holy Spirit, you must think through God's word. I said think through God's word. That means, let me put it in simple words, you must meditate. There will be no basis for you to be talking to the Holy Spirit. I guess the reason why my friend ran away, because he wasn't sure. If he had known that the Holy Spirit will be with you, he won't run away. Are you getting my picture at all? So, when you're discussing with some, have you noticed that sometimes when you're discussing with some people, they annoy you because their opinion is very warped. Have you ever discussed with some people that they are talking and you're wondering, what are you saying? I'm telling you that 1 + 1 = 2. You say 1 + 1 = 4. Are you mad? Am I speaking to some people? So you get irritated. You just stay away from them. Hello? You don't want to have anything to do with them because each time you hear, they are always talking from another planet. So you have to think through God's word. The book of Joshua chapter 1 verse 5 says, verse 8 says, this book of the law should not depart from your mouth. You should meditate on it day and night. I know many of you know that scripture. That you observe to do what is written in it. In that way you shall be what? Prosperous. You shall make yourself prosperous. So you need to constantly look through what God's word is saying. You can't be joking with God's word and expect the Holy Ghost to clap hands for you. Many a times the reason why the Holy Spirit is quiet in our lives is because we have refused to look at God's word. If you lack information coming from the Holy Spirit, ask yourself, when last did you look at God's word at all? When last did you probably even listen to God's word at all? Some of us go through a week without even hearing God's word. The only time we hear God's word is when we come to church on a Sunday service. And as we are going out, we say, yori yori. That's the one we go with. The word of God must be around you. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 4, from verse 20, that my son, pay attention to my words. Incline your ears to my saying. In all your ways, acknowledge. See, you cannot see. The word of God has to be around you in your phone, on your door. That's how you'll be able to meditate. Meditation is not only when you take Bible and in the morning time, this is my quiet time, so they say we should be meditating now. So I'm meditating. No. See, we have passed. We are moving on a fast track. The whole world is moving on a fast track. So you put the word of God everywhere you can see it, so that you can now focus on it. And as you're focusing on it, you are actually meditating. The human being was programmed to meditate. You know how I know? Many of us know how to worry. Worrying simply means negative meditation. So if you've ever worried, you are a good meditator. Hello? Are you getting the picture at all? So that's what I'm just trying to break down. It's not a big word per se. It's a simple thing. You just put it everywhere you see. Put the word of, you know, on Sunday, I believe it was on Sunday or one of the services, Pastor was saying, we have the stickers, his presence, his power, his provision. That's God's word. All right? She said, get those stickers, place them everywhere. The more you see them, the more you're meditating on it. See, you're going to pass through times. We said that in 2010, it's going to be a difficult time for all sets of people. But those of us who stand on God's word, what's God's word saying to you for the year? That his presence is going to be with you. His power is going to be with you. His provision is going to be with you. If you keep seeing that, it's going to be a word that will propel you over every circumstance that stands in front of you. But you don't have the sticker. So how are you meditating on it? You say, no, don't worry. It's costly. It's 50 naira. There's no problem. That's a bottle of... No, that's not a bottle of Coke. A bottle of Coke is 60 card. Hello? So each time you are drinking that bottle of Coke, Coca-Cola, easy. There's a new one now. Coca-Cola for happiness. As you are drinking it, you are drinking his presence, his power, his provision down your stomach, and you are releasing it out in the next 6 hours. That's how much it takes. You just drink, in the next 6 hours it's gone. So you keep wasting. The Bible says, buy the truth and then sell it not. Am I making sense to you at all? I'm trying to show you all the avenues you miss out when you don't meditate. See, another way you can meditate. See, we go through manifest in the morning, every morning. I'm not trying to advertise. I'm simply showing you all the avenues we've kept so that you can hear God's word. We go through living your dreams, huh? On Wednesday, okay, you say I'm in church, no problem. But you have the CDs, and some of us are going through serious relationship problems. The only person that can help you is the Holy Spirit. Check this out. Every teaching that pastor teaches on relationship, the girl is mine, everything is coming from the Bible. So as you focus on it, you have what you're going to be relating with the Holy Spirit on. He'll be guiding you. When a guy who is coming and is a cheat, you will know him from afar. Forget all the rhymes he's giving you. You know, ladies love rhymes. I'm sorry. So you meditate. The second thing you do is you practice God's word. Hello? You practice God's word. The Bible says in the book of James chapter 1 verse 22, it says, let us not be hearers alone of the word, but doers of it. I have seen that you have said this in your word. I have the intention of practicing it. When you are such a person, see, you must take the word of God intentionally. The Holy Ghost is only serious with people who are serious with God's word. I'll say it again, you can write it down. The Holy Ghost is serious with people who are serious with God's word. You intentionally decide to practice God's word. You know that by being here tonight, you are practicing God's word. The Bible says that we should not stop from coming into the fellowship of the brethren. We should continue it. It's a habit that we should take and, you know, continue to cultivate. But there are some of us who have decided that, well, there's no problem. I'm so tired. Let me sleep. If I told everyone that in this service, you shall receive 1 million naira, not in the spirit, but in the money. Oh my God, this place, if I won't have enough seats, we'll have people, when they're singing, God of miracle, you will see people seriously singing. Because they know that they're singing, God of miracle, it don't happen for my life. Thank God I get this message, that they collect time today. So some people, they will even bring their friend, and not tell their friend exactly what they could say, come. You get what I won't give you. They will put up a pack. When you give me, let me bring you come. So I will give you 10% for following me. Am I making sense to you at all? That's just on your side. We must tell your neighbor, you must intentionally practice God's word. I can't hear you. Tell them you must intentionally practice God's word. The first is to think through God's word. The second one is to intentionally practice God's word. As you do this, you're creating a wellspring of information that you can have to discuss with the Holy Spirit. Hello. A pool of information that you can have to discuss with the Holy Spirit. And then you must also decide in yourself that you will put God's word first. In every decision you take. We learned that this week. God's word must be first in every decision that you're taking. Many a times we tend to forget God in many of the things we do because we are in the self, I can do it age. We are in the I can do it age. So there is a very big tendency of neglecting God in everything that we do. Say, okay, no, don't worry, I will do it myself. When you have these three in place, you have created a form. I'm telling you, you cannot miss the Holy Ghost talking to you. And as he's talking to you, you will know he's the one talking to you. He will talk to you through your spirit anyway, but you will know he's the one talking to you. Isn't it wonderful if you can leave the house? Everybody says, I wish God can tell me everything that's going to happen throughout the day. How many of you would like that? Come on now, raise up your hand. You don't like it. You don't want... If you knew that what is going to happen by the end of today, they just showed you the picture, wouldn't you be happy? I know where you can get it. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11, I know the thoughts, I know the plans I have concerning you. I'm supposed to bring you to an expected end. But you must first know that you have to call. That means you create an atmosphere where we discuss. You will come, let us reason together. And as we are reasoning, I begin to open you to the things you need to know. Now listen to me. Listen carefully. There is nothing that you are looking for that God has not gone ahead for you. You know how I know? The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20, it says that whatever you are asking, he can do better than it. Whatever you are thinking, he can do better than it. It says, according to the power that is at work in you, everything that you are thinking of and you are asking of, God goes further than it. Hello. So let's not play God. Let's leave him. The Holy Spirit is in us to give us answers, to give us comfort, to give us counsel. You are crying. You are crying. 10 years of my life have been wasted. Do you want to waste the remaining 10? There was a message that Mama was preaching. He said, you will just be surprised. 35 years will just meet you. Then you say, hey, I'm now 35. Then the same you will just be surprised. 50 years will now meet you. Bam. You say, hey, I'm now 50. Check your age now. Check it, check it. Check your age now. Is this the dream you dreamt for yourself before? Many of us are saying, know me now, know me now, know me now. We will know you now. In 10 years, we will still know you like this if you don't have the Holy Ghost. You know why? The Bible says the enemy is moving around like a roaring lion looking for who to devour. You think that it's because you have a certificate that you are born again? Even the elect is ready to deceive. Why? His job is to steal, to kill and destroy. He doesn't have any other intention. He doesn't have any job. And let me tell you, the devil is good at his job. Now I'm not trying to, but the master and the Holy Ghost is better at his job. You know, for everything I'm telling you, you know how I know? The devil concocted, if there's a word like that, planned to make sure that he overthrows God, brings him down. God, the Holy Spirit says, look, this in. I don't even need to fight you. Send angels. Let us give them the wisdom. They push the devil and down with 1/3 of those people who said they want to join him. So even if the devil is good at his job, you have someone inside you that is better than the devil. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. 1 John chapter 4 verse 4. So why are you allowing circumstances to slap you? Why will you allow thoughts that are not supposed to be to catapult your life and put it where it's not supposed to be? Every day, my life. This is your life, self. You're not even the one that gave it to yourself. Why don't you give it to the person who gave it to you? Praise the Lord. So you meditate, you practice, you give him the word. That's one of the things he has come to do, to fellowship. So that you can, from today, start talking to him. Pastor will say, it is practicing the presence of God. Don't think that you are talking to the devil. You are talking to the Holy Spirit inside. You must have confidence. If God says he has given you the Holy Spirit, he has not given you anything less. He has actually given you the Holy Spirit. Stop looking at your life like somebody who is a second-class citizen. You are the child of God. The Bible says in Luke chapter 11, it says, you who are evil, do not give bad things to your children when they ask for it. You give good things to them. How much more the Father, if you ask him for the Holy Ghost. So since you are now saved and the Holy Ghost is inside you, enjoy it. Somebody say, I hear you. Come on, I say, somebody say, I hear you. So you need to enjoy it. Enjoy his presence. Enjoy what he's doing in his life, in your life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Somebody say, I will listen to the Holy Spirit. And I will talk to him. I will listen to the Holy Spirit. And I will talk to him. Alright. Now, as you relate with the Holy Spirit, you begin to build godly character. Godly character. The Bible says, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which his presence within us accomplishes, is love. That means, This is what the Holy Spirit is going to accomplish as we are relating with Him, as we are talking to Him, as we are doing all the things I say you should do. All right? Joy, gladness, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, which is benevolence, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, humility, self-control, which is self-restraint. So understand that as you begin to do these things that I say you should do, the joy of the Lord will just naturally be going with you. It's a godly character. It's a godly trait. It doesn't matter the circumstance. You will be singing, Nigeria, go survive. When they are saying that Nigeria is not going to survive, you will be singing it. Why? You know that there's something inside you that is telling you that it will survive. When you are going through an issue that ordinarily people expect that you should be downcast, you will be saying there's a lifting up. Because you're talking from inside. That's the way God talks. That's the trait of God. God moves in joy. Joy is not something that it happens irrespective of your circumstance. Happiness can come as a result of your emotions anyway. But joy is from within. Bible says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. So if there's a connection, it powers you. Okay? Then you go on. You see, gladness, peace. You sleep and nobody is coming to disturb you. You sleep and nobody is pursuing you. You sleep and you're not bothered whether anything is happening around you. There's a peace that passes every human understanding that can rest on you when you begin to relate effectively with the Holy Spirit. Gentleness. You walk with self-control. Hello. As you build this, it's not magical. It's constant relationship, constant fellowship that produces it. Of course, I told you, you must be looking at God's word for this to happen. So when you be talking to the Holy Spirit, say, look, listen, this is he'll begin to show you things that you need, these things like this that we need to come out from your life. Praise the Lord. Don't you like that? Come on now, don't you like that? It would be a wonderful thing if all of us could walk like this. And we just live having all this in our life. Everything will be nice. Imagine if this whole country had this. We will not be fighting each other. There will be no just crisis. Hello. Am I making sense to you at all? Alright, let me go on. Now, having said that, I need to go to something else that the Holy Spirit does in our lives that helps us to be better Christians, that helps us to be powerful Christians. I've told you that when He comes into you, these are the things that He gives you, godly character. You must also understand that when the Spirit of God comes into you, He comes in to strengthen you. Now look at me. Please, look at me. This is the part that is important. To strengthen you, to energize your spirit, to empower your spirit, to give you power to continue to do certain things like ministry or certain things that you need the power of God for. Hello. Let me show you the next scripture I have. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. It says, but you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem. You shall receive power. You shall receive power. You shall receive power. You shall receive power. Now, inside every man, you discover that there's this search for power. But here, God is saying, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, as King James translation will say it. But this translation amplifies says, when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Now, I want you to understand something, that when we're talking about the Holy Ghost coming upon you, it's not a different Holy Ghost. It's the same Holy Spirit that is in you. But this time, it's more like overshadowing your spirit, coming upon your spirit, and you know, you know what overshadow means? Takes over you. Takes over every part of you. He's like, that's why the word of God says that He comes upon you. When they're talking about upon you, they're talking about your spirit, man. Mark you, I'm sure you've been taught, like we've been taught in the other centers, man is a spirit that has a soul but lives in the body. So the real you is a spirit man. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Hello. So, am I flowing with you here? So you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And I said, it's coming upon your spirit, overshadowing your spirit. And when this happens, you are empowered for ministry. That's why I say you shall be my witnesses. As the power comes upon you, you are unable to do certain things that Jesus would have done if Jesus were around, to affect other people, to touch other people's life, to do something that you have seen in your life. You are not transferring to other people's life. You are affecting other people. Hello. So he empowers you, and then you become a witness. Now, we're going to do a little bit of searching. How many of you have your Bible? I want to show you some things. If you look at the first set of people that he spoke to, these were his disciples. Look at what happened to them in Acts chapter 2. So if somebody has Acts chapter 2, can you just open it up? Acts chapter 2, let's look at verse 2 to 4.
Acts chapter 2, verse 2. Suddenly there was a sound like the roaring of a mighty windstorm in the skies above them, and it filled the house where they were meeting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on their heads, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in languages they didn't know, for the Holy Spirit gave them this ability.
Are you seeing that? I like the way that translation begins. It said, for the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. All right, can somebody use the King James translation, please?
And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. 3. And there appeared unto them
tongues of
cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
God bless you. Now, I want you to see that that's what happened to the disciples. The first set of people that Jesus talked about, he says the fire came upon them. It was like the power of God came upon them, and they began to also speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That means the Spirit enabled them to speak. All right? Acts chapter 19, verse 6.
Then, when Paul laid his hands upon their heads, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in other languages and prophesied.
Praise the Lord. The King James translation says, as Paul laid hands on them, they spoke in tongues and prophesied. And the Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall a thing be established. So I had to just bring those two scriptures to solidify what I'm trying to show you. At every point where the power of God came upon them, if you could check other scriptures when you go home, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 8, just read through, there is always an evidence that goes with the power of God coming upon these people. Each time that the power came upon them, there was the evidence of speaking in tongues. Alright? Each time the power came upon them, there was the evidence of speaking in tongues. So, all through the scriptures where we see that the power of God was coming upon them or they laid hands upon them, you discover that there was they spoke in tongues. So, it goes to say that when the power comes upon you, there is an evidence that goes with it. You speak in tongues. And the Bible says in the book of Mark, it says, and these signs shall follow them. They shall cast out demons. They shall drink deadly poison. They shall pick up snakes. And they shall speak with diverse tongues. They shall speak in tongues. So, it is something the Father wants you to also have. It is something that God has kept for us. You see, God never gives you anything because he feels like he wants to just pour it upon your head. God is always intentional. Say it with me. God is always intentional. Come on now. Say it with me. God is always intentional. And God is always right. Alright. So we need to find out exactly why is there need for the tongues. Why do the tongue have to come anyway? You must understand that the tongues is like a language, like you said. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, it will tell you just why, or one of the reasons why, tongues is important. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, the Bible says, he that speaks in tongues speaks directly to God. Isn't that interesting? That means it's another form of fellowship. Because fellowship is talking. Come on now. You want to check it in your Bible. It's there. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 2. Is that what is there? Come on. Is that what is there? All right. So, he that speaks in tongues speaks directly to God. That means there is... You see, and he says, if I have a language that I can use in speaking, for instance, I don't speak certain languages. I don't speak Yoruba. All right? I don't speak Hausa. So, if you're an Hausa man and you're speaking here, I would not understand what you're saying. And if you were going to sell me, I may be shaking my hands with you and gladly following you to my deathbed. Hello. So, you must understand that the reason behind the tongues is to encode some things from the enemy. There are some things that you say in English, that you say in Taiwan, that is even you say in Japanese, or you say in any language. As long as he's here on earth, the devil understands it. Not that he can trap it, but what there are some things that are necessary and hidden for you. That God has said, okay, because of this, I need you to talk directly with me in my language, the language I give to you. And also there are some assignments that he wants you to do, that if you were speaking in the language and you understood it, you probably would stop. For instance, you may not like some people in your life. In fact, as far as you're concerned, God should send down fire and kill all of them. But you just be surprised that as you're praying in tongues, you're praying for your worst enemy. You knew you were praying for Temisan, who is your enemy that wanted to kill you with real poison that you saw. You would stop the prayer, wouldn't you? I just say you're praying and you say, okay, let's pray for Temisan. You say, huh? Who? I mean, Temisa, the girl that tried to poison you. You say, hey, sorry, that must be the devil talking to me. Are you getting my picture? God is a God of love. God is a God that sees everybody and loves everybody. The Bible says he sends rain both on the good and on the evil. And they use that rain. Those people who don't believe in him use the rain of God, plant their seed, and then reap from the seed, and then have a good harvest. Am I making sense to you at all? So God encodes it for your own benefit, for your own benefit, and for my own benefit, to bring result for us. So whoever is talking in tongues speaks directly to God. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4, he says, he that is speaking in tongues edifies himself. That means you strengthen your spirit man. You make your spirit man strong. You exercise your spirit man. Tony, please, can you stand up? Please stand up, sir. Don't you like this man? He's built well. Does exercise every Tuesday and every Thursday, and I don't know whether it comes on Saturday, but he does exercise anytime I see him. So this is just to let you know he's doing well. I don't think he will slump anytime. You know, there are some people who are like this. You'll just be seeing them today. The next day, you just see them, they just slump. You know why? Lack of exercise. They're not doing enough exercise on themselves. So exercise is not for... Sit down, sir. Exercise is not because you are fat or because you are slim. Someone like me, I still need to take exercise. You just might discover you don't even have stamina and it's dangerous. They tell you to just run from here to the end of this thing and you are panting. Now, just the same way you could be panting, you can also be panting in the spirit. So you need to exercise your spirit, man. You need to, it's not, see, God is the one that made you. He will tell you what you need to survive. It's not you that will tell him. I don't know if I'm making sense to you at all. If he says it is to edify you, then you need to understand that this guy has to be serious. There is something about his strength. It makes you like a Superman. Alright? It makes you have to, you now have six pack. Those of you who love six pack, forget that I'm slim. I have six pack in the spirit. Six pack. Six pack. I like six pack. I don't know why God didn't give me six pack body. Anyway, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. All right. So, I'm just simply saying that it's very important. Now, anything that God says, God is saying it because it is necessary. God doesn't just talk because he feels like talking. God talks because it's necessary to talk. And when God speaks, whatever he says is. Did you hear what I said just now? Whatever he says is. So even if there was an is before, when God now talks, his words become is. His own word becomes final. So you need to understand that what we are talking about is not something that you may like or you may not like. It's necessary. Tell your neighbor it's necessary. Don't tell me now that I say, well, you know, I don't need to edify my spirit. As I'm reading the Bible, there's no problem. When you study the Bible, you educate your spirit. As you meditate, you educate your spirit. When you pray in tongues, you exercise your spirit. There are two different things. Just as you can educate your physical, your mind, you can educate it. You read books, all right? You read different books here. You study. You become an economics or a statistician or an engineer or whatever field you want to go into. So also, as you study the word, as you meditate on the word, as you reflect on the word, what you're doing is that what you are educating your spirit man. You're making him strong so that you can have something to discuss with the Holy Spirit on. All right? Now, when you pray in the language of the Holy Ghost, so when you speak in tongues, you are edifying your spirit as much as you are also fellowshipping with the Spirit of God. Am I making sense to you at all? Alright. So it's important that we need to know that. Now, I know that you may be wondering, must I not know exactly what he's saying? The Bible says that it's 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14. It says, though we speak, but our minds are unaware of what we are saying. God doesn't need you to be, your mind doesn't need to be aware of everything. You are beyond the human thinking. You are beyond your mind. The real you is beyond your mind. Remember I told you, man is a spirit that has a soul but lives in a body. You are actually a spirit being. You are actually a spirit. This body is only a casing. This is the body that goes underground and after a while, it turns back to sand. It's just made of buckets of water and sand. That's what this body is made of. Made up of. Praise the Lord. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14 says we are unaware, but we are praying actually in the spirit. So there's what we call praying in the spirit. So outside the fact that he empowers you for ministry, he also empowers you to pray in the spirit. Are you getting the picture now? So you can now pray in the spirit. You can spend time praying and praying and praying for issues, for countries, for people you don't even know. You can be praying for somebody in Nova Scotia. You don't know the person, if there's any place like that. I don't know. I keep on saying it. I don't know where it's in Nova Scotia. Is there Nova Scotia? Okay, there's Nova Scotia. Thank you for telling me so I will continue using it. So, you can be praying for somebody in Nova Scotia. You can be praying for somebody that is sick right now and you don't know. Let me tell you something. Somebody prayed for you. That's why you are here. Somebody took time. Maybe the person does not know you, but prayed. See, for you to accept God's word, somebody must be standing. For you to be able to say, okay, you were not in originally, okay, maybe you even came from a Christian home, which is even more dangerous. Because those of us who came from a Christian home become religious. I came from a good Christian home, you know, followed God very well, but I was doing all the bad things. So, now, praise the Lord. So, it spoils it if you come from a religious home. Praise the Lord. So, that's what I want you to get as to this, that the Holy Spirit comes in and then helps you to pray in tongues. Now, you must also understand that you may say to yourself, now this message is not for me. I pray in the language of the Holy Ghost. It doesn't really bother me. I'm being the round off. It doesn't really bother me. I don't need to pray in tongues. I don't need any spirit to come upon me. You must understand what they call fresh oil or fresh bread coming upon you. The Bible says in Psalm 92 verse 10, my horn has thou exalted and you've anointed me with fresh oil. Each day, God wants you to always exercise yourself, always be strong, always be open, so that, I mean, you're better than you were yesterday. So you can't say, because I'm praying in tongues. Some people got baptized in the Holy Spirit, they were just praying in tongues for that 5 minutes, and you know, they just said to themselves, you know, it's spontaneous. I know, when we are worshiping, that's when I just, you know, the thing just comes out. It's not supposed to be like that. Did you hear? Do you have a problem when I say pray in English? You can pray in English. So also, you shouldn't have a problem of thinking. You can also pray in the spirit. If you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, if it comes upon you, you can pray in the spirit. It's not for a particular time. It's not only when we are in church. It's not only when you are worshiping God or when something is happening. You can pray even on the road. Nobody has to know what you are doing. I'm not saying that when you are on the road now, you are in front. That's not what I said. So let's not go to the other extreme. Praise the Lord. But I'm just simply saying that you can do it at any time and it's necessary. You have to. It's important. Praise the Lord. You need to. You have to. It's important. Now, having said that, you cannot receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Having said that, you must be full at all times. You cannot receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit if you're not expectant. The problem with people is that most of the time, they are not expectant of receiving. This is one of the cases. For those of you who probably they've prayed for before and then you don't receive baptism of the Holy Spirit, the thing is this. Let's look at some of the hindrances. I'm rounding off. Let's look at some of the hindrances. Some of the reasons why some people don't speak in tongues is because they feel that it's their mind that is talking. Hello? They said, you see, you have watched too much home video. That's your problem. Too much home video can make you think that it's your mind that is talking. How can you insult the Holy Spirit and say that it's your mind that is talking? Holy Spirit that is inside you say you should pray in tongues. Say, no, maybe it's my mind. What are you talking about? You are insulting him. That means you don't even believe that the Holy Ghost is inside you. It must be a fake Holy Ghost that is inside you. That I'm sure I should ask whether you are saved. Hello? I'm trying to get something to you. You must be expectant that you're going to speak. What home video people, they act, but they can't even last in a tongue. Why? They don't have the engine. You can fake Z, kaba, 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 ye, kaba, kaba, ye. You can say that. And for your information, I was really praying in tongues. I can't even fake it now. You can say mu, 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 ye, 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 mukus, momo. Now, it may sound funny, but it's the truth. Now, you may tell yourself, maybe it's my mind. It's not your mind. Get it into your heart. It's not your mind. Unless you're not sure you have the Holy Ghost inside you. I've told people, there's something you must get, which I've learned from what Prophet Jesus said. The authority of God's word, the relevance of God's word, the truth of God's word. It's final. If God says something, that's it. The moment you start playing about it, then you are doubting it. And once you doubt it, forget it. God is not going to work with you. It's not being hard on you. It's just being himself. Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You can't please God without acting on what God's word has said. You act on it. You act on it knowing that God himself will back up what he said. So if you must expect that, okay, fine, I'm going to speak in tongues. It's not your mind. It's not your mind. Hello? It's not your mind. It's not your mind. I'm saying it to somebody. It's not your mind. So what if I start to speak, then I'm only hearing one thing? That's not your business. You are not supposed to even be aware of what you are saying. That is in terms of your mind interpreting it. You're not supposed. So you can start le 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 le. Just be careful. You are not singing le 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 le. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Am I speaking to the house at all? I just wanted to wake you up a little bit. Now you what I'm trying to say. You can just have be saying one thing. It doesn't matter. Now, a child does not learn how to speak English in one day. In fact, when they say, is this, and he said, "Dad, hey, hey, he's calling me daddy." Yeah. I'm waiting for my son to do that. Now, as he's saying "dada," you are saying, and as from "dada," it goes to "daddy," or it goes to "mommy," or it goes to, and then he begins to call the names. My sister, when she was younger, when she wants bread, she would say, "I want bready." Now, of course, she can pronounce the bread effectively, even beyond just bready. Are you getting the picture? So you may not fluently speak like me. And don't be expecting to speak like, that's the problem. Say, no, I want to speak like Pastor Tony Zone or like Pastor Praise Zone or like Papa Zone. Maku tekeke, marakuteki, mandaya. Do you know when they have been speaking? Forget that thing. When mama tells you that she's not what do you call it, Korofo, and she's not somebody who just used copper, you want to now jump. I say, hey, I want mama's tongue. It's not, listen, it's language, for goodness sake. Stop wanting somebody's own tongue. It's just language. Speak your own. So you can start from le, le, le. The more you practice, remember, you're exercising yourself. As you practice your stamina, see, that's the thing, you become stronger. From 5 minutes, you go to 15 minutes. In fact, when you even do 1 hour, you won't even know you have done 1 hour. I say, somebody can do 1 hour. Ask people who have been praying in tongues sometimes. Sometimes they pray 1 hour. They don't even know they have prayed 1 hour. It looks like 5 minutes. Why? Because you are flying in the air. I want to remove every thought or everything that may be keeping you. Because God is here with us and ready to pour out his spirit afresh upon us. And ready, all he's just asking us to be expectant. Remember the scripture I read for you. He will not give you something that you didn't ask for. You ask for the Holy Spirit, you get it. That's God. And remember, it says, whatsoever you ask for, I'll give it to you. In the name of Jesus. Have you heard that before? Whatsoever. So even if you ask, Father, I want to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. As you're just there, you just expect him. Now, some people may say, how do I know he wants to start speaking to me? Now, I told someone, and this is what I'm going to tell you. I said, I don't have the time now to pray for you to receive the Holy Spirit. I just say, okay, what you're going to do for me is that when you get home tonight, ask Holy Spirit, because we're going to do it here. He says, Father, I want to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You're saved, right? He said, yes. I want to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. I said, what is going to happen to you is that just wait there expecting that you're going to talk. Because it's your mouth, it's your voice you're going to hear. Oh, it's not the Holy Ghost's voice. You're not going to Christ. You're not going to hear somebody else's voice. Some of us are thinking maybe, see, pralas, the host kaha. You're not going to, it's your voice. Hello? So I told him, I said, you may just have a prompting. Now, prompting means something will be inside you, just say, talk. Please don't speak in English. It's not English he wants you to speak. That thing, sometimes it may just be a thought. You may hear, lay, repeat it. Say, but it will look as if I'm foolish. And you are foolish now. Don't you know you are foolish? Your mind is foolish to it. Didn't that, don't know what the Bible said. That's another way of putting it. Your mind is foolish to it, which ultimately means you who are sitting and standing, you are foolish to tongues. Allow yourself to be foolish for once. The Bible says he will make the foolish wise and the wise foolish. So be foolish for once. You won't do anything. After all, it's God you are praying to. Hello. Am I making sense? So you just, there, it may be a prompting. Something may just move inside you just to say something. And as you say it, just follow it. Some may just feel something come upon them and, you know, they just go rattling like that. Others, it may just be quiet, peaceful, and this. I don't know how. All I know that if you are expectant, that prompting or that word that you're going to hear or something like that, if you repeat it or you say it as it's coming out, you're on your own. Now, I've had experiences over and over and over again. That's why I won't tell you that there's a particular way to eat. I've had different experiences. In fact, I've had the ones that shocked me. I remember somebody coming to my office one time and I told him, I just said, okay, fine. You want to, okay, we're going to pray. I just told the person, I said, come, give me your hand. And as I just held him, stand now, are you, be in spirit, are you not? I just said, okay, no problem, we're going to pray. After telling him what I want to tell him, I'm your car now. And I just held him like this. Between me and you, even me, I was shocked. As I held him, the guy went and was on his own. Da-da-da-da-da. I said, ah, this one is serious. So there is no, I cannot tell you, but I know one thing. If you are expectant tonight, I'm telling you, I'm not joking, I'm serious. If you are expectant, those of you who have even received him, what will come upon you, you will know after. I think you saw, it wasn't me, I was riding on one choir, so choir will come here again. They will do that thing they did. Whether it's magic, I don't know. The way the mercy were singing it, that's the kind of atmosphere the Holy Ghost needs. But when you finish from here, when you go home, you don't need the mercy to sing for you again. All you need is you and God. Zikabarote eskubaranite egumatanyana tikora santo komuto etikimundo iyalato koromosonte evate kurama takaya tukusunata ikekeko patokori esikurana ekumataye kisu. I'm not bragging, I'm just telling you how I'm enjoying myself. Zure ketu ejuda ekunamataye. You are praying. When you finish, you will know how far. All these things, mysteries that you don't know about, all of a sudden, you just know certain things that you didn't know before. When you are reading Bible, you begin to see certain things that you didn't see before. Your eye that was covered with whatever begins to open. Somebody say, was my eye closed before? Your eyes can be closed. The people that were walking with Jesus to Emmaus, they were walking with him. They were walking with Jesus and did not know it was Jesus they were walking with. In fact, they were abusing Jesus for not knowing that what is happening in Jerusalem. Until Jesus got to where he was and said, see this once, I will show you who is who today. He broke bread. Now their eye opened. Now they say, our heart was burning when he was talking to us. Your heart was burning. It's now you know your heart was burning. Sometimes when you read something in scripture, you'll be wondering whether they were crazy. Praise the Lord. No, so let's get it right. Be expectant, follow the promptings. Know that God won't give you what is wrong. God will give you what is right. And God will give you tonight. Come on, I said, God will give you tonight. Amen. I trust that my God will bring something upon you. You know why? You know this program is hosting the Holy Ghost. From this program onwards, you're going to be seeing some powerful things happening. We want to allow the Holy Ghost to do wonders. So when you are coming next time, that's why I told you, if anybody is sick here, as far as I'm concerned, I don't even need to touch you now. I know, you check yourself. Those persons that came here with us, I know when God was on, somebody had a problem in the stomach. I do know that that thing is gone. So check yourself. I don't know why Christians, when we come for prayer, you go and sit down in the house. You have people that are sick. Bring them to come and know God so that they can get well. Amen. Rise on your feet.